The UN Population Fund issued its annual State of the World Population Report today. The headline, by investing heavily in family planning, developing countries can fuel economic expansion and boost productivity. But the recommendation is at odds with recent actions by the Bush administration. International family planning groups say the U.S. is crippling reproductive health programs in poor countries in order to please opponents of abortion rights. The controversy is expected to be highlighted later this week at a Bangkok summit on global health care and human rights for women. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports.
Representatives of family planning groups fear that Washington is on the verge of backing out completely from a 1994 family planning initiative that 179 countries endorsed at a worldwide population conference in Cairo. The most recent maneuver in this long-running fight came several weeks ago when U.S. delegates challenged the wording in the Cairo plan. Austin Roos is with the Catholic Family and Relief Institute, a conservative policy group.
There are many very good things in the Cairo document that everyone agrees with, increasing education for women, poverty reduction, development, and things like that. The controversial pivot in Cairo, and really what set the tone for the debate over the last 10 years, was the question of abortion.
Roos says the Cairo plan of action was not supposed to include access to abortions, but he also says it isn't clear that it doesn't. Opponents of abortion rights have passed up few opportunities to make sure that abortion is excluded. In the first days of his administration, President Bush reinstated the so-called gag rule that prevents international family planning organizations that receive U.S. aid from supporting abortion in any form, even with their own money. In Congress, conservative members have threatened to cut U.S. funding for the Population Council's AIDS prevention programs in developing countries. The private research organization holds the U.S. patent to the abortion pill, RU486. They also challenged funding for reproductive health research being conducted by the World Health Organization. And last summer, the U.S. threatened to boycott a United Nations Children's Summit because planning documents referred to sexual and reproductive health services.
The problem becomes fuzzy language, where the U.N. has gone off the rails and where it has become remarkably controversial in recent years is on the question of interpreting reproductive health as including abortion.
To avoid a political battle with conservatives just before this fall's elections, the administration cut off $34 million in U.S. funding for the United Nations Population Fund and shunted the money to family planning programs run by the U.S. Agency for International Development. The cutoff marked the end of a long-standing compromise that had survived Republican and Democratic administrations. Thuraya Obaid is the UN agency's executive director.
It was very difficult with the U.S. decision to cut funding for UNFPA because $34 million is 12.5% of our income. Lots of our programs on reproductive health, family planning, HIV prevention, counseling, maternal mortality and so on had to be cut in some way or another. So that was the heartbreaking part and what made it very difficult.
Obaid says that at a time when the largest population of young people ever is entering the childbearing years, the UN's family planning budget has shrunk to $265 million, down from a high of nearly $400 million following the Cairo conference. The worldwide economic slowdown is partly to blame, but Obaid says the U.S. is the only donor withholding funds for ideological reasons.
The United Nations Population Fund does not support abortion anywhere in the world. We do work with the governments on the consequences of unsafe abortions, which is a public health issue and it's a human rights issue.
Obaid argues that, in fact, the agency's presence in a country means abortions are less likely.
Russia is an example where once contraceptives of various sorts were available, abortion started going down. Even in China, where we are criticized, in the 32 counties where we work, data shows that with the availability of a mix of contraceptives, abortion has gone down in these counties where we work.
At the Catholic Family and Relief Institute, Roos says that mix is one of the things he objects to.
Men and women have the right to determine the number and spacing of their children. The problem with the sort of UN regime of contraceptives is that they tend to be harmful for women. Many types of contraceptives are abortifacient, the IUD, for instance, the morning after pill. These cause abortions. Other types of contraceptives cause cancer.
International family planning groups were caught off guard by the administration's actions. Amy Cohen is the director of Population Action International, a family planning and policy advocacy group. She says the Bush administration is the first in 16 years to jeopardize family planning programs in order to push an anti-abortion agenda.
But where abortion is safe and legal, women should indeed have access to it. In countries where it's not safe and women are dying from illegal abortions, she should at least be admitted to a hospital. So it's about saving women's lives in the rest of the world, where in the United States, it's about politics. And there's something fundamentally immoral about that.
The administration has run into controversy over the appointment of people who oppose abortion rights to several key health advisory posts. Some of the fiercest opposition focused on the nomination of John Klink, the Vatican's representative to the United Nations, to be Assistant Secretary of State for Population, Refugees, and Migration. He withdrew his name, but was later made a member of the U.S. delegation to international population conferences. That disturbs Amy Cohen.
We're outraged that in our country that separates church and state, we find where we're working in the United Nations that we have a government that is closely aligned now with the Vatican, and they're moving this agenda that limits women's access to health care.
Austin Roos of Catholic Family and Relief Services is just as outraged by that kind of criticism.
That is a very old-fashioned kind of anti-Catholic bigotry. The premise of your question is that a faithful Catholic cannot represent the United States government.
The State Department has not said whom it will send to this week's Bangkok meeting, but it appears to be backing off from some of the more contentious questions, insisting that it is not seeking to renegotiate the Cairo Agreement. Instead, a spokesman says it has asked for footnotes to clarify that reproductive health does not include abortion, and it called for a discussion of the words safe abortion and sexual and reproductive health rights. Amy Cohen of Population Action International is not reassured.
We have been shocked at how secretive and how comprehensive an approach this government has taken. And they've been very clever about it. They've gone after policy, they've gone after funding, and they've done it in ways that most of the American public hasn't noticed.
Ultimately, Cohen says, these actions will confuse donors and governments in poor countries, leaving them uncertain about whether funding for reproductive health services can cover only pregnancy-related care, or also contraceptives, including condoms, and counseling, treatment for sexually transmitted infections, and the full array of medical care for women, teenage girls, and children. Abortion rights opponents insist they are not seeking to limit services, just trying to make sure that one particular service doesn't slip through. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, Washington.